Three games of hoops in a Thursday night. Memphis OKC turns into a great game. LA Denver turns into a complete dud. And New York Detroit continues to be a rock fight. My name is Shlomo Stark.
My name is Levi Jacob.
And this is the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. Levi.
What's going on?
I did not see this coming. But game of the day was OKC Memphis. OKC wins 114 to 108. I watched this game. I still can't believe what ended up happening. I want to give you a little bit of credit because you kind of predicted it. You were like, I feel like Memphis is going to come out strong. And you kind of seemed afraid to say you think they would win, but it kind of seemed like you thought they might win.
Yeah, I thought this is the closest chance that they were going to have, for sure.
Yeah, and so they come off to a very strong start. They're up 29 points, and Ja Morant gets hurt.
By the way, the strong start was also, by the way, very much thanks to a guy who was usually coming out as their sixth man with Scottie Pippen Jr., was nailing threes left and right. He was playing awesome to start off this game.
He killed it. He was really, really good. Ja gets hurt, and I think the OKC goes on a 32-8 run.
I think it's something like that. I think you're right.
And then it was a rock fight, like just trading buckets towards the end. But if you're trading buckets with OKC, chances are OKC's going to win, which is what happened. Alex Caruso played phenomenal defense. SGA was not playing well during the Memphis run. He ended up getting his. He finished with 31 points. But this was just a huge, huge blow for Memphis. Game three is giant when the home team won 2-0 and you're trying to get home court advantage. The difference between 2-1 and 3-0 is the entire series. And it's over now. Like, I predicted a sweep. I still think it will be a sweep. Maybe Memphis can steal one at home. I want to give him credit for fighting and not after the last two games of domination saying 1-2-3 Cancun. But this is OKC's, like, they just won the series.
I think very simply it's a problem that we've that kind of always comes to pass in regards to Memphis, meaning in the last few years. It's like the thing when the Warriors had all those, had their version of the Cancun, not Cancun, Hamptons 5 or whatever, and then they had no bench and everyone was like, oh, but they, you know, when you have a star player who's just naturally, physically, you know, is more prone to get injured, and then he's going out there and playing to the max of how he can play, right? Like, Ja Morant loves to be in the sky. He loves it. He doesn't land well. And that's exactly what happened now. And I think that if Ja Morant is back for game four, maybe that gives them a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. But I don't know if they, I don't think that they can win that game. I think that OKC has now also solidified in their mind that being down even big in a game against the Grizzlies doesn't scare them. They're great. And they also, something that's very interesting to note is that you usually see teams like implement different defensive schemes kind of in the playoffs. This was the first game all season that you had Caruso and Lou Dort out on the court at the same time. Two premier perimeter players on defense in the NBA, and they look great. They look really, really great. Oh, it's this OKC team is they're the real deal. They're really, really great.
They are. Next, Knicks beat the Pistons 118 to 116. This was the Knicks' best game of the three. I watched this game. I was up at 2 a.m, and I did not miss a minute. The last, I would say, 5-6 minutes of the game were an embarrassment to the sport of basketball. And I'm ashamed that I'm a fan of this team who just like took like a 15-point lead and was just like, here, Pistons, make all the fans nervous. Go ahead. Make a three. No, another three. Go. So that was annoying. Carl Anthony Towns came out aggressive. He did not like people talking about how he didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter and was quiet in game two. And he came out awesome. Jalen Brunson, it felt like, didn't play well until it was just the fourth quarter and he had 30 points. And I'm like, how?
He is the clutch player of the year, you know.
He is the clutch player of the year. They kept saying that over and over in the broadcast. They're like, every time he scored within the 5 minutes, he was like, that is clutch. Like, so, like, classic. Like, Reggie Miller was like, this is playoff basketball, clutch. Anyway. Josh Hart was all over the place. He was fantastic. Bridges. This was the best Bridges game. And it was a great game except for the last 5 minutes or so. Tim Hardaway Jr. was unbelievable. Really, really, really unbelievable. And randomly for the Pistons, I want to give Duren props. They had this pick and roll that they did the entire, I don't remember if it was the second or third quarter, but they were doing it every single time and the Knicks just couldn't stop it, was Cade would bring up the ball, they'd set a pick, and then two guys would go after Cade, and Cade would pass it to Durin, and Durin would like lay up, dunk, pass to Hardaway Jr., lay up. Like, whatever. It worked every time, and it was very frustrating. Knicks come with a W. They really needed this. It would be really bad if the Pistons were up 2-1. They play a matinee on Sunday, and I'm hoping we can go up 3-1 and all but steal the series.
It was really funny to see actually how many Knicks fans were still in Detroit, despite their best efforts of trying to, you know, not to let them come. That being said, the crowd was rowdy, dude.
Good crowd.
It was a great crowd. There was a lot of like you said, the last, you know, there was a good amount of time where it wasn't pretty basketball, but the amount of buckets in this game that were like, you know, like good buckets for a crowd to cheer for, it was like there were certain parts of the game that were very high level shot making. But yeah, Jalen Duren also had a he's a good passer for a big man. He also had a pass at the end of the game, an inbounds pass that ended up kind of giving it away.
It was over before that pass. That was only with 0.5 seconds left.
You want to try to get something. You don't give up until
it was over. No, I mean I'm meaning like
I get it.
That pass was not as big a deal as you're making it right now. Like that. If we're going to talk about one play, it's not that. It's like there were much more significant plays that caused Detroit to lose that game, or the Detroit to almost win, I would even say. That pass was like, it was a really hard play. Mitchell Robinson playing good defense, and like right. It was to do a miracle shot. It wasn't going to happen. One more thing about this game I will say is that while the Pistons fans were great, the Pistons never went on a run that got the crowd excited. Like, it felt like Tim Hardaway hit a big shot and the crowd would be like, but then there would never be like four shots in a row. Like, the Knicks, I think only one time had to call timeout because of like Pistons shot making. And even then, it wasn't like the crowd wasn't going crazy. So I do think that the Pistons did not take advantage of this crowd enough tonight.
Just a small side note, so we can move on after this. I am very interested in a you know, smaller storyline kind of way to see long term how Cade Cunningham's shot making and ability to take over a game comes into play in the future, because he's a very good player. He really is a very good player, and I mean, obviously, he was number one pick, but. He at times he's a very good passer. He's a very willing passer. He's deferred to other people on the court. And sometimes you just want to like shake and be like, Cade, dude, you got it. Like, you can do this. Like, just take us home. And I'm interested to see how the rest of his career kind of plays out in regards to that. That's all.
Yeah, definitely. This is like, you know, what is it? Is like fourth year, third playoffs game. Like, he's going to grow into something else.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Next and last game. We loved this series, but it finally, like, this was kind of the game everyone was waiting for, which was like, it feels like the Clippers are much better than the Nuggets. And now it kind of finally happened. We had the Kawhi and Harden game. And when that happens, it's like they both scored over 20 points. Norman Powell also had 20 points, honestly. The Clippers wouldn't miss. They scored 48% of their shots, 46% of their threes. Just a total domination. Jokic was terrible. 23-13-13, 9-14 shooting. I'm obviously joking. Like, meaning he was like, the thing is though, he wasn't as good as he normally was. And I'm like, I was just looking at this. I'm like, oh man, like Jokic isn't playing well. And then I look at his stats and I just saw what I just read. And I'm like, how is he like, so amazing, even when he was also fit, like 9-14. Like, listen, in a plus minus of minus 20, so that'll show them. Like, 117-83 is really bad. That's a bad loss when you're
also just a interesting note is that I think that if you ever want to show somebody, like, if you want to give somebody like a quarter of basketball to watch and be like, this will get you into basketball, watch that first quarter again. That first quarter was awesome. Both teams were really going. Norm Powell also picked up play this game. And James Harden was just having one of those games that it made you feel like you were watching him back in Houston. The crowd was loving it. Everything was like, he was just making such good basketball players. He was getting those Euro layups down also. Like, it was a lot of fun to watch in real time.
It's actually interesting. It feels like Kawhi and Harden kind of took over this game. Do you know what their shooting percentages were?
No.
I'll read them out to you. James Harden was 6 of 14, and Kawhi was 7 of 17. And Kawhi had 21 points, and Harden had 20. And I'm very surprised when I looked at that because, like, it felt like they completely took over the game. But when I'm actually looking at the stats, it's like, so
right.
It was kind of, you had to be there.
Talking about it, 2 days ago, right, where it feels like the Clippers team, like, lives and dies on Kawhi's shots in a positive way. Like, you also get that this time around where you're watching, like, the percentages are not there exactly, or, like, whatever. You know, it's not terrible, but it's not great for him usually. But it just means more. It means more when they're scoring, when they're able to especially him and Harden. But also Zubats has some great defensive play. Like, they're just a very, very complete team. I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast about this from, I think, also, again, 2 nights ago. And they were just talking about how this Clippers team did all the right moves. And again, as you're seeing it play out and you're seeing it in action, it's 100% correct. You got these excellent role players. You have these star players that also know their roles, where they're able to be, you know, stars independent of that. And Kawhi really has he's got his bounce back. And I really, really am scared. I'm, like, terrified of everybody putting so much excitement and emphasis into Kawhi right now, because I'm so scared to be disappointed again. I really don't want it to happen. I want him to be able to finish out the playoffs healthy and really compete, because he's so great. It's so much fun to watch when basketball is, like, this good, you know, such high level basketball.
He's great. He's really, really, really good at basketball. I hope he doesn't get hurt as well.
All right. This is in Orlando. Boston's up 2-0, or Boston is favored by 4.5. They could not beat the Celtics without Jason Tatum. I have Boston winning.
Is Jason Tatum back? Do you know? Or didn't announce?
Would you say?
Is Jason Tatum back?
It's not, like, I think he's questionable.
Okay. If he's not back, I think Orlando takes this one. I don't think there's been enough separation between the two teams. I think that the Celtics need to be doing better in order to create proper separation. Because I'm saying, like this Thunder-Memphis game was kind of, like, the same idea to me. Like, I wish that the Thunder could kind of, like, show more of their dominance without having to be that their other players out, other teams' players out. I think that the Magic are really, really looking for it. Like, they're hungry. They're, like, really playing hungry just for fun. I would like to see the Magic win tonight. I don't know, but I would like to see the Magic win tonight.
Cool. I think Boston's going to win. just for fun, because I'm surprised by the line. Guess the line of Indiana-Milwaukee. Milwaukee at home, down 2-0.
I would say, like, let's say 10.
10. Who's favorite?
10. Ooh, Indiana.
Milwaukee's favored by 5.5.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
So you're... by 15.5 points.
But dude, that's nuts. Why?
Yeah. Okay. That's why I made you guess the line. Because
so
I'm
weird.
Surprised by that.
Who do you think is stepping up?
I think my guess is they're probably thinking that, Dame, like, needed a game to, like, shake it off. But tonight him and Giannis will both have, like, 40 or 30 or something.
But Giannis has been doing that anyway. I don't know.
Meaning, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So now Dame. Listen, Dame scores 10 more points, they win that game. 5 more points even. It was a very close game. I don't agree with it, but I'm saying that I think that's
I
guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I have Milwaukee, but I picked them every game and have lost both times. But I do have Milwaukee winning again. I just, like, Giannis is so good. I can't bet against
the guy. Yeah. And you want him to win. That's the other thing about it. Like you're really watching this happen. You don't want it to be wasted 100%. I think actually the Pacers have this one.
So you have Pacers. Okay. And Lakers, Minnesota. Want to guess the line? Minnesota's at home. Series is 1-1.
I think, let's do this. I'm not going to guess an exact number because I just don't know what it would be. It's so flexible. I would say, I think that the deadline is with Lakers.
Minnesota by 3. You're terrible at this.
I'm horrible. I'm first to admit that. Like, that was, like, yes, like last night, I guess that Clippers might get beat by what you call it at home. They wipe the floor with them. I'm terrible at this.
You should ask me to guess the lines. I think I would enjoy it.
Yeah, we should. That's a much better way to do this. I'm going to get this part into the podcast.
Yeah, like, I was like, I don't know why I'm asking you. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about when it comes to lines. Like, I'm not going to, first of all, you're like, I'm not going to guess a line because it fluctuates. It doesn't fluctuate at all. Like, actually, like, it's kind of, like, pretty much stays the same.
So
like,
funny.
Maybe it moves, like, a point or two, but you're like, I can't guess an exact one because it moves. So I'm going to guess Lakers favored. First of all, Lakers weren't favored. Second of all, the line didn't really move. Do you know nothing about betting lines? Okay, that's fine. Okay.
That was the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. I want to thank you, Levy, for co-hosting. for producing. Thank you for listening.